In the long cold evening with the darkness dropping down, he heard them only once. He held the boy close. There was a cough in his throat that never left. The boy, so frail and thin through his coat, shivering like a dog. The footsteps in the leaves stopped, then they moved on. They neither spoke nor called to each other, the more sinister for that. With the final onset of dark, the iron cold locked down, and the boy by now was shuddering violently. No moon rose beyond the murk, and there was nowhere to go. They had a single blanket in the pack, and he got it out and covered the boy with it, and he unzipped his parka and held the boy against him. They lay there for a long time, but they were freezing, and finally he sat up. "We've got to move," he said. "We can't just lie here." He looked around, but there was nothing to see. He spoke into a blackness without depth or dimension. He held the boy's hand as they stumbled through the woods. The other hand he held out before him. He could see no worse with his eyes shut. The boy was wrapped in the blanket, and he told him not to drop it because they'd never find it again. He wanted to be carried, but the man told him that he had to keep moving. They stumbled and fell through the woods the night long, and long before dawn, the boy fell and wouldn't get up again. He wrapped him in his own parka and wrapped him in the blanket and sat holding him, rocking back and forth, a single round left in the revolver. "You will not face the truth. You will not." In the grudging light that passed for day, he put the boy in the leaves and sat studying the woods. When it was a bit lighter, he rose and walked out and cut a perimeter about their Siwash camp, looking for sign. But other than their own faint track through the ash, he saw nothing. He went back and gathered the boy up. "We have to go," he said. The boy sat slumped, his face blank. The filth dried in his hair and his face streaked with it. "Talk to me," he said. But the boy wouldn't. They moved on east through the standing dead trees. They passed an old frame house and crossed a dirt road, a cleared plot of ground, perhaps once a truck garden, stopping from time to time to listen. The unseen sun cast no shadow. They came upon the road unexpectedly, and he stopped the boy with one hand, and they crouched in the roadside ditch like lepers and listened. No wind. Dead silence. After a while, he rose and walked out into the road. He looked back at the boy. "Come on," he said. The boy came out, and the man pointed out the tracks in the ash where the truck had gone. The boy stood wrapped in the blanket, looking down at the road. He'd no way to know if they'd got the truck running again, no way to know how long they might be willing to lie in ambush. He thumbed the pack down off his shoulder and sat and opened it. "We need to eat," he said. "Are you hungry?" The boy shook his head. "No, of course not." He took out the plastic bottle of water and unscrewed the cap and held it out, and the boy came and took it and stood drinking. He lowered the bottle and got his breath, and he sat in the road and crossed his legs and drank again. Then he handed the bottle back, and the man drank and screwed the cap back on and rummaged through the pack. They ate a can of white beans, passing it between them, and he threw the empty tin into the woods. Then they set out down the road again.